This is the Sarah and Vinny Secret Show on RadioAlice.com. Just a heads up, it's not for work, it's not for kids, but it is a good time. Available right here on RadioAlice.com.
You only hear it on the Secret Show. You won't find it on your radio. Oh, maybe you're not hip enough to know that Sarah and Vinny's got a secret show.
What are you doing?
Pay me back my 2 hours.
Nobody's listening, and you're just talking to myself.
Oh, that's nice. Then, was it a good conversation or what?
Yeah, it was good. It's just like, oh my god, everybody's just doing things to themselves right now. I know.
I was like, what's he saying? I thought you were commenting on the
I was seeing if Yuzette would look up.
Oh, what?
Because she was in deep conversation with Hooman.
Was my mic on?
Yeah.
Everybody's
mic. I feel like everybody's mic is on.
I was the only one with headphones on, so I was talking to myself in my own ears.
Oh, I didn't realize the mic was on.
Playing with voices.
Hooman, test those mics, would you?
Which one is on?
One of them sucks.
Check one. How's that?
That's a good one.
Fine. Hold on.
Great.
Check two. Oh, they're all good.
That one actually sounds fun.
Jump back and forth between the two of them for the fun of it.
Yeah, that'll be.
But she's both of them double fisted.
Hey, just turn one on and one off randomly, so he has to jump back and forth.
DP,
DP, DP, DP, DP, Dolores Park, Dolores Park.
That's not what I know DP as.
Yeah, yeah, I've never heard anyone chant that, Yuzi.
I love Dolores Park. I grew up around there.
I've never seen a picture of Dolores Park on RedTube at any point.
What are you doing on RedTube?
Keeping up with the Joneses. Yeah, research. That's what it is. Yeah. Anatomy. It's an anatomy class I'm taking.
Speaking of, you know that the story in the news about the guy who sat on that glass?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, every now and then you see I don't watch RedTube, but I assume it's at one of the porn sites,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So you see the little thumbnails, but that's how you select your chosen video.
Of course.
You might read the little blurb about whatever's going to happen. You go, that sounds interesting.
It's nice to have options.
Yeah.
But every now and then you'll see one where someone has completely disappeared their hand in a lady's behind.
Orifice.
I do not believe it's true. I don't click on them because I don't want to see it. But I can't imagine.
It's true. Yeah,
oh, that's the thing.
On it.
Yeah.
It can be done.
Crap.
It's sophisticated.
Yeah.
Right.
But not in the woman area where a baby would possibly. Like
and
that
actually,
I
they
at
get
least...
it. They get it going, and then they can kind of punch in.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't know. How do you know?
Because I am a human being who's lived 50 years. Maybe when you're 50, you'll also know.
How do you know?
No,
that is not a satisfactory answer. How do you know someone's doing that?
I've seen video of it.
You clicked on those videos.
I didn't click on it. I just think I don't even know where I saw it. I remember seeing a punch through. Like it got worked in and then it got worked out and then it got to the point where poof, there was no resistance anymore.
And you probably saw it on VHS, which makes it even more real.
Possibly.
Because in 2017, I kind of understand where you're coming from because I feel like CGI is so sophisticated at this point.
Yeah, I don't expect that's real.
You can make anything look like anything at this point.
Yeah.
No, but it's the truth. Like it's a real thing. It's a real thing. There's studies out there.
I had a friend who was I'm sure he still is. I don't really spend that much time with him anymore.
Who's this?
It's just someone. Oh. You know
is
him.
Is his name Evil Rick?
It is. It's Evil
Rick.
Evil!
Oh,
it's always Evil Rick.
Wait, is this a good story?
It's the dude was just so, I don't know, he's so twisted.
Am I leaving his name in?
Yeah, you can get in.
A guy like Evil Rick, I think it'll be all right.
She has, Rudy, she has a good Rick and an evil Rick in her life.
Oh, that's why you label him. Okay.
Good Rick is actually, has a share of evil in him.
Well, don't we all? Rick both so of them, far, too. So that's the weirdest part.
I never boned Good Rick, but I did do a three-way with him, but I was not, it was with him and his girlfriend.
Oh, two girls, one guy.
Yes, I did not. I didn't bone him.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh.
And I boned Evil Rick. I did.
Okay.
Yes.
Can we say that?
I mean, he is good Rick. You know, a good guy deserves a dose of service.
We're still actually very good friends, too. Evil Rick has gone off the effing rails, man.
What
I'm not going to air all his stuff.
Just tell us a couple things that he did that really upset you.
No.
Well, wait. What was the whole point of bringing Evil up?
Because Evil Rick is where anything that I know about people who doing horrible things
deviant
to each
behavior.
Other's bodies is always because he's like, oh my god, you gotta look at this. Like he was the first time I ever saw enemas involved in sex, and which I
you know what you can't really
so
involve
astounding.
An enema in yeah. sex. There's you can it's,
oh no
it's
you,
done to a person.
You can
how
and then it's done to a person and then they aim it somewhere.
Oh no.
And
it's, yeah, it's fully,
they aim it.
Come on,
there.
They aim it places.
At where, my mouth?
Wherever you want.
Wherever you
they
want.
They aim it at my mouth?
There and elsewhere.
That's
and
not a friendly thing to do.
Yeah.
Do you paint like a target on your face?
I don't
like
know.
A
what do you,
he was
face?
Really into like scat stuff.
Wow.
And
what's scat stuff?
Poop stuff. Things yeah. poop.
He liked
he,
it?
He,
or
just
he just
would watch. I don't know. I didn't want to. I mean, that was fully. There were a few times when I went, that's kind of disturbing. I got to go.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Fecal, the fecal pleasures can be painful
you
to watch
sometimes.
You just
feel like you look at the person who's showing you and they're like, ah.
Yeah.
And you look at them and you're just like, oh, I don't even know you.
Right. Like, that's what turns you on?
Right.
It is weird to find out what turns certain people on, like the right. things that turn certain people
oh,
on.
Oh, wait. We meant to ask you some questions. So our friend Rudy's here.
Rudy Ortiz,
yes,
everybody.
Indeed.
In fact,
how
if you're
you?
Listening.
I am 34 years old.
34.
Yes, sir.
If you're all listening right. today, he does have a show tonight in San Francisco.
Yeah, at the Harlot, 8 okay. o'clock, along with Lyle Behrens and Zach Schiavelloni.
All right.
How many women do you think you've boned?
That's a good question. Honestly, I'd have to say,
if you're 34, you've been single all this
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I'd have to say I'm probably at about 40 plus.
Nice.
How old 40 were you plus. When you lost your virginity?
So I lost my virginity at 18. I was a late bloomer.
What?
I had no. Here's the thing, man. I had no game whatsoever in high school. I did not know the
you
art.
You don't need game. You just ask.
No. See, that's what you think.
Can I please have sex with you? I asked every girl I knew.
And he was in a war of attrition with every girl he knew. I'm going to wear one of them down, and they're going to
happen eventually.
There's no game there.
No, there was game, though. The game was this. The game was that I thought, as an adolescent, 15, 16, 17-year-old Rudy, thought that if I actually showed my feelings and showed a girl that I liked her, I tried to pursue her using logic. And then I realized later on in life, like when I turned 18, 19, I realized that girls don't want logic at that point. They want the bad boy. Like you boned Evil Rick. This guy's name is Evil Rick, and you boned him. You know, so I mean, my
I
thing.
I was drunk. In my defense, it just was a mistake. We both knew it afterwards.
But even then, though, I would have never thought, and we're talking about, you know, when I was still a virgin, I wouldn't even have thought of, like, I'm going to go out with a girl, I'm going to drink with her, and I'm going to get her nice and, you know, nice and, comfortable, and then they're gonna make it happen. No, for me it was like I'd bring the girl flowers, I'd write her poetry.
Oh,
I was a complete
God.
Square. Yes.
So you wanted to be in love.
I thought that I was doing the right thing. I thought that if I showed love through logic, that I eventually would get the draws. But I never got the draws until I turned 18.
The draws?
The draws. The underwear? Underwear. The underwear, yeah.
Okay.
The draws. The drawers.
The
I think
drawers.
Some people call them the drawers, yeah.
I like the draws.
I'm quoting Tommy from Martin, the TV show Martin. That was one of my favorite characters.
In.
The draws. Yeah, exactly. So I thought that using love and logic would get it for me, but it never did until I got out of high school, and I realized you just have to not care sometimes. You just have to act like you're not interested and you don't care and you disregard the girl. And for some odd reason, which to this day as a grown man,
isn't it sad?
For some odd reason, to this day I don't understand why, but that happened. That seems to work.
So the first girl, do you remember her name?
Ooh, yes. Her name was Lynette.
Oh, Lynette.
Yeah. And was
she was
lady?
My girlfriend, though. She was my girlfriend.
Oh, so you pursued her and you got
won
her as
heart.
A partner.
And I won her heart, and it all worked out. And, you know, I remember one time we were listening to the radio on a landline. This was back in the day when you would talk to each other on the landline and listen to the radio at the same time. And there was this one song where the song was about losing your virginity. And she tells me, she's like 17, and I'm like 18, just turned 18. She goes, so when was your first time? And I'm like, I've never done it before. And she's like telling me about her first time and all this stuff. And I just felt like such a little person. I just, such a little man. Like, she just stepped on me in that moment. And I'll never forget, that was our first conversation about sex. But then a couple of months after that, I got it. And it all worked out.
And she taught you the ways of a woman.
But then from like 19 to 20, from like 19 to 27, I went on a rampage. I was boning everything.
And you say your number's 40.
Yeah.
Like, let's have a more realistic count.
No, this is really like 40. Like, from 19 to 27, I mean, I was just having a lot of sex. And I was like, I knew the formula at that point. I finally got it.
You cracked the code.
I cracked the code. But then I slowed down. Like, once I turned 30, I slowed down because I was like, because I started getting scared.
So you're saying you lost count between 19 and 27.
I definitely
Since you turned 27, there's been about 40.
No, 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 no. Since I honestly, since I turned 27, there's probably been about 11 or 12. Hmm. Yeah, but in that time, 19 to 27, I did a lot of damage.
When's the last time you boned a lady?
This morning, actually.
Oh, nice.
All right. Yeah, I got it
Let
in this morning.
Let me ask you
yeah.
this. Is kissing the middle a regular... Can I say it that way?
No.
Mm-mm. Is kissing the back door... Is that all right?
Mm-hmm. Is that a yeah. normal...
It's like when you leave for work, you kiss at the back door. So, is that standard now?
For me, it's not standard. I think it's standard out there. I think people are definitely taking this practice into the bedroom, like on a more consistent level. Maybe it's like a first or second date thing, which to me is still kind of weird. But for me, it's not standard. But I will do it, though. I'm not going to lie. I will do it, especially if I'm like really comfortable with the girl. And if she's alluding to the fact that she wants to get some backdoor action in also, if she's alluding to that.
Like what? By putting on the beep?
Exactly.
Russell leg
beep.
Over?
Right. Yeah. If she's alluding to that, she's letting me know.
Hit the back door. Damn it.
She's like the mailman's in the front, the milkman is in the back though. And so if she's alluding to that, like I'll definitely warm it up. I'll get it ready. Right. You know, and that is one of the tactics to do it.
Do you take a bottle brush to it first though? Is it like, you know?
Look, I just trust the fact that I'm dealing with, you know, clean girls. Mm. You know, and by clean, I don't mean like their morals or their soul. Right. I just mean like
dirty
their
who
body.
Keep it nice.
Yes, dirty okay. girls who keep it clean. So
the girl you got this morning, you know her?
I do know her, yeah. I've known her for a while.
So repeat.
So yeah, this is definitely like a friends with benefits situation.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, man, if you got two grown adults in that situation, it doesn't always have to end in tragedy or somebody getting their feelings hurt. If two people can just kind of come together and make an agreement and just say, look, we're going to have sex because you live your life a certain way and I live my life a certain way and we can't be together, but I like your body. And I want your body on top of mine and under mine and next to mine and all that stuff. So
wiggle.
So we made an agreement, and that's where we're at right now. Mm. You know, and I'm enjoying it. I'm really like.
And she's down with it. She's down with it.
Not
hoping you come around. And
No. She'll give me a call. This is like a late night thing. She'll give me a call like at 10:30 and be like, "Hey, what's up? You know, can I come through?" And I'll be like, "Yeah, yeah, yes. You can come through.
Rudy,
not a problem. What's up, dude?
Did you get this girl as a result of being on the Sarah and Vinny morning show?"
Did I get her results of being on the show?
No, did you get her as
no,
a result?
No, because he's known her for a long time.
No. Oh, okay. I knew her. I've known
have
her,
you gotten
known her
any girls as a result of being on the Sarah and Vinny show?
At this point, not yet.
We have not worked out for you.
Not yet. But I have faith, though. I'm liking a lot of the comments that I get on Instagram, so I'm hoping that those little hearts that I click on will eventually turn into some
translate.
Loving. It'll translate at some point. Unless I might be reverting back to old Rudy, high school Rudy, where you know I'm trying to use logic. To actually get it. So maybe
let me ask you this. So you're a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
Allegedly,
you're
playing
yes.
tonight. You've got another show at the Harlot. No, that's tonight.
The
What's
bindery.
The other one?
The Bindery. Bindery, yeah.
On the 13th.
If there's like a dream scenario, is it you've got your own sitcom? Is it like doing a stadium tour?
Specials on Netflix.
What is it? What is the dream? Like the goal is to what?
Okay, in terms of comedy, and I'm gonna be honest with you guys. In terms of comedy, it definitely is like maybe like a Netflix special or a half hour special on Comedy Central or you know some sort of work on the silver screen on TV, right? Maybe a movie. All those things are things that a lot of comics aspire to attain. Mm-hmm. And I'm not gonna say that I'm different. I'm
sure,
like
you
that.
Hope
like
for that too.
I hope for that too. But my ultimate vehicle, though, I look at comedy like a vehicle. I think ultimately this is gonna sound real corny, but you know those guys that like Anthony Robbins and like the dudes that do TED Talks for a living. Like I want to do that. I'm not saying that that's what I want to be, you know, for the rest of my life, like a motivational speaker. But eventually, like I want to get to that point where I could like have a conference and like talk about something inspiring, and hopefully, you know, it'll resonate with people. That's kind of like what I'm ultimately trying to get to. Maybe write
like
a book.
Like what kind of topics?
I don't know. I guess anything that's inspirational. I know it sounds super vague, but I always thought about, you know, writing a book and. Just putting some positive information out there, something inspirational for people, maybe people going through tough times, kind of like a self-help type of book. Huh. That's kind of what I ultimately want to do.
Holman is also like I can picture you too. He'll be like your manager. He'll back you and put all the gigs together.
I'm good.
I just lost my manager right there.
Your friend Rudy.
We're already doing movie reviews.
Let me just say that's, in a sense, that's what we're doing here. We do the bad advice. That's one of the things that we do on this show. But I know for a fact there's an audience for self-help stuff.
Definitely.
I was dating a girl and was talking to her about reading, and she said, truly said, and you'd think she would hide this from me almost, I like to go to the bookstore and pick out a self-help book and read it. Yeah. And I'm like, that's your hobby?
Was she well-adjusted?
She seemed fine. I mean, it didn't work out between us, but that's probably my fault. I think that she was... like being as honest as she could be and said, for fun, I like to go to the bookstore, shop for a self-help book,
right,
and then read it. And I was like, that is the weirdest idea of fun. But it's so true. You find out a lot of people, they feel
they
good when they,
Vinny,
they read that and they feel good.
It's fulfilling. You know, we live in a time right now where everything is so, you know, the world that we kind of pay attention to is around us. It's outside of us. Very, very, you know, seldomly do we really look internally. And I'm not trying to sound real cheesy, but I think that's why some people still enjoy, and I think most people still enjoy helping themselves to some degree, learning about themselves, talking with other people and kind of like getting some insight. I think that's still a thing that's never going to like leave the human DNA, because we live in a world where everything is beyond us, like at our fingertips. You know,
this
we got
is your
phones.
First TED Talk right here.
This is my first TED Talk right here, right? you're talking about a world with, you know, iPads and iPhones and all this information. And I think we're just like so over-informed with all this useless stuff. And I do think that people still want to take some time for themselves and look internally and try to figure out how can they make themselves better. Because I feel like as many gadgets and stuff that we come up with, technology can advance all at once, but people are still going to look inwards for enlightenment
and
at some point.
People pay big money for this stuff. Like, I know Hooman has gone on a couple retreats, like $3,000-$5,000 for a weekend.
The Animus?
That too. No, this Empower You thing that he did. And, you know, he's always looking for meaning and everything. I that could be your first client.
My thing is this. This is why I feel so strongly about this. I think at the end of the day, we're all, and as much as, you know, people don't want to admit to it because I know it sounds a little too over the top, but I think at the end of the day, we're all philosophers to some degree. And I'm just trying to, I enjoy tapping into that. Like, I enjoy sitting down and having conversations about, you know, what do you think the meaning of life is, or what do you think people's purpose is? I enjoy those conversations, you know, like.
Although they can get super annoying. Like, sometimes right off the bat, you're like, I hate your philosophy. Like, I can't
language,
believe I'm
having, language.
Sorry, I can't believe I'm having this conversation.
Right.
Well, like, here's.
Especially if you didn't invite the conversation. Right. Sometimes that gets like, if I'm on Bart.
It's got to be the right place. That's exactly it.
Here's the thing that I find interesting about that is we expect our comedians to be as jaded and as negative as humanly possible to really find some of those juicy
dark nuggets.
Right. Yeah. The beautiful stuff. The things where you go, oh, I can't, I've never heard that. That comes from that darkness.
Yes.
And you're talking about a completely other thing.
Right.
The opposite.
Don't get it wrong. Like, a lot of comics are gluttons for punishment. At the end of the day, if you're a comic, you are a glutton for punishment, whether it's because you like to see your own life fall apart and it inspires you to come up with material.
Right.
Or if you're a guy who I actually enjoy being in front of a bunch of strangers and having them hurl judgment at me with their stares or with their silence. There's something about that actually it makes me feel alive. You know, to know that the entire world is judging me and looking at me like I do not belong in this position. It just makes you feel alive. Like, whenever your heart beats because you're anxious or you're nervous. I mean, yeah, that you could look at it like oh, I'm falling apart. Or you could look at it like, hey, I'm alive. I'm in this moment. Here I am right now. My heart is racing and I'm about to do something where I'm going to make myself extremely vulnerable. That to me, it's like skydiving. You know, you let it go and then just see where you land. I enjoy that. But I know what you're saying, though. That is definitely a thing that comics have had over their heads for a long
time.
Tortured people. But at the end of the day, though, I mean, we're all tortured to some degree. Everybody's got their demons and their dark stuff that they deal with. And that's why we enjoy comedy so much, because somebody's actually going out of their way to express it and then give you a laugh at the end, you know? And when you combine the truth with laughter, you can open the gates to people's minds.
So the other day we had Carlos Santana on, and he's your dude. Like,
that's
that guy
right
is a philosopher.
He'll sit and talk
of all
philosophy. That's what he wanted to do.
I found him to be charming and smart, but I mean, I couldn't have sat through that over and over again. No. I mean, that's not, because I'm jaded too, and I just couldn't. But our audience found that someone wrote in and said, my husband just started a new job or something, or was going out for a new job, and totally wrote a quote from Carlos on our show on their whiteboard to help keep him from sabotaging himself.
Something, yeah, about keeping the bad things away. And you kind of talked about it too, Sarah, like all those bad things we think about ourselves.
Right. Think mean things that we say to ourselves. Yeah. But he made the, I mean, he actually did. I almost want to go back and listen to it, because even in the moment, I was very captured by what he was saying. Mm-hmm. At one point, I was like, we should talk about, you know, something else, because it was getting, I wanted Bryn to go over. We had this little like chimey drum thing.
Yeah.
Like sounds very, you know, meditative.
Right, right,
like,
right.
I was like, oh man, we should start playing that thing. But yeah, he made some, he's got a great philosophy.
But the reason I mention it is because for a lot of people,
it touched a nerve.
It touched them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's no doubt that that interview for a lot of people, they were like, that's the best interview you've done. And I would
didn't
have expected
see anything that I expected people to be like, oh wow, that was long, or that got to this point, or that. And everyone was so.
Or I saw one text out of, I don't know, hundreds of texts.
Oh, what'd they say?
They said that it was boring.
Oh.
That's one person.
Yeah. I mean, one. Which is, you know,
and usually the haters come out.
Right. Yeah.
They're the first, they're like, oh my God, this is great. I have an opportunity to take a dump on these guys.
Right. Right, right. People like their philosophy and their enlightenment spontaneous.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants to learn, but nobody wants to be taught. Like, being taught is, like, I got to sit down and pay attention.
You got to put the work
like
in.
You don't
want
to be condescended to either.
Exactly.
Which a lot of times people who are trying to tell you, explain something, it comes off that way.
Sometimes I feel bad for some people that can't sit down and just have an honest conversation because they feel like they're being, like the person that they're talking to is being condescending. Almost like a sickness. Like, if you can't get over the fact that somebody's just trying to be open and honest with you, and you think that they're always being condescending, I mean, how limited are you? You know, because that means that you can't have an honest conversation the majority of the time. You
right.
know, you have to wait until you're broken down in tears and you have nowhere else to turn to before you'll
cry,
listen to somebody.
You're on the floor quivering, and someone comes over and tries to learn you, and you're
right.
like, stop condescending!
Yeah. Don't patronize me. I know I need to get my together, all right? I know I need
I'm
to do it.
I'm on the ground quivering. I don't need to hear that from you. All right, let's get into some bad advice.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right, I want to start. We did one yesterday about this lady who found out about 9 months into it. She really likes this guy, and about 9 months in, she finds out that he had a couple DUIs. You know,
she said he has a criminal record.
Right.
He has a history.
Like some misdemeanors, nothing super bad or anything. Like the DUIs were the thing that were really bothering her. And we said, and she was mad because he hadn't told her. And so we had whatever we had to say. And she says, she wrote us back and said, from the bitchy, judgmental, scared girlfriend with older boyfriend with two DUIs in his past. Thanks for giving me what I needed to hear. I'm definitely someone who overreacts. So you gave me exactly what I needed. Reassurance that my boyfriend's past does not define who he is now. I want to stay with him, but I was worried I was making a mistake. It's good to hear an outside perspective, especially from someone who's been through multiple DUIs himself. I apologize to him for my initial judgmental reaction, and all is well. Thank you, Morning Show Gang.
There we go.
That's sweet.
Bad advice that worked out.
That actually worked out.
So that's one.
There's one.
Boom. Put that one up on the refrigerator.
All right. We helped one person.
One in 8 years.
Okay, here we go. I have a question I hope you can help me with. I've been with my boyfriend for 2 years, and about a year ago, I got myself a dog, the best puppy in the world. About 3 months ago, my boyfriend moved in with me into my two-bedroom apartment. I have to leave town for work trips quite frequently, and so selfishly, I was happy to have someone to take care of my animals when I'm not home without having to pay for a pet sitter. I also have two indoor cats, very clean and lovely ones, not like Vinny's cat.
I'm surprised that she has these pets when she goes out of town so frequently.
I know. So
who's
she
taking
must,
care of the
she
cats?
Must, well, it sounds like she had someone who she was paying to come to
just
her house.
Just doesn't seem fair.
That sounds really disappointing.
No, it just
person.
Doesn't seem fair.
It's a huge responsibility to take on animals. Yeah. And if you travel, it's a huge pain in the ass to always have them get covered. And frankly, it's not fair to the animals.
It's not there fair at all.
Okay, so she has two very clean and lovely cats, which I've had longer than I've had my boyfriend. He hates them, and the compromise we made in order to move in together was that my cats would only stay in one part of the apartment and be locked away from all his stuff.
Oh, God.
He originally insisted I would get rid of them altogether. No.
No.
Now they live in the master bedroom / bathroom suite, which irks me a little bit, but so far I can't think of another solution. The boyfriend also does not take care of the cats when I'm gone, FYI, complicating things for me. Now the dog. My boyfriend has never interfered with the training of my dog, and was just always the cool uncle doing as I asked him to do. He's recently started to implement his own training, which is quite harsh and mean to the dog. He says it's necessary because my dog is, quote, out of control sometimes. Not true. She's a border collie and has a lot of energy. And if I want him to co-parent, then I would have to accept this. I told him, this is my dog, not ours. I'm not co-parenting, and I want to train the dog the way I want to, and she wants him to respect her wishes. We've argued about this a lot, and while at first he told me he would not take care of my dog at all anymore whenever I leave town, he later agreed to be the cool uncle caretaker again. Only he's starting to be mean to the dog again, yelling and pushing her and simply having no consideration for her, and I keep bringing it up, and my boyfriend keeps flipping out. I've started to bring my dog to doggy daycare whenever I'm out of town, but this maltreatment occurs on a daily basis even when I'm home. My boyfriend's not hitting the dog, but I still feel very uncomfortable by his behavior toward her. It is my dog. Why can't he respect that? We otherwise have a good relationship, but him being so mean to my animals has taken a toll on the respect I once had for him. What do I do? Any advice in this situation?
He's got to go.
Yeah, this guy's bad.
Bye. That's a red
bad
flag.
Bad news. Huge red flag.
If you're mean to animals, guess what?
You're just waiting for somebody as vulnerable to come along so you can take it out on them.
Mm. That's what's gonna happen. Kid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now here's my thing. I don't wanna make it seem like I'm this huge hero for animals. I don't hate animals.
I'm already with you. I don't hate animals.
I respect animals. You know, I try not to bother them. Like if I see, you know, like somebody's dog on a leash, I won't just go up to them and just like start petting it. You know, I don't dislike animals. It's just that I'm not a huge animal lover. You know, so I understand a boyfriend that may not want to partake in doing all the duties of being a dog owner, but that doesn't excuse you from just being a jerk and just screaming at the animal and mistreating it. Because yes, it's a red flag. Eventually, you will take that out on somebody in the human form, whether it's the kids or whether it's even the girlfriend. You know, that's definitely going to let you know what's yet to come.
And I feel like when you agreed to move in with this person, you knew that they had pets. And Vinny, when you moved in with your girlfriend, the cat it has been a bit of a nightmare at times. You certainly didn't maltreat the cat. You tried to find solutions. Like, it's having a pet. Listen, I'm not a huge animal lover, but I know what kind of responsibility it is when you own a pet. And I'm sorry, you live together. You're part of that pet's life. Like, you have a responsibility to that animal.
And locking it up in one part of the apartment, that's not right.
That's cruel.
This guy's awful.
That's cruel.
Mm-hmm. And it just feels like she needs to, for everyone involved there, she needs to get rid of this guy.
Yeah,
I hate
him. You're their mom, so you need to be their mom. And
would you put up with that if it was your kids?
It's not the way that things can go. So you need to, what I would say, the easiest way to deal with this, or the simplest way to think about it, is you guys aren't a good fit.
Nope.
You love animals. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've got animals. I get his deal, as you're just saying. He's a dude who's living in that house. He pays rent. He doesn't want to live in a house with cats all over the place.
Well, then get out.
Then that's his deal. Right. So he needs to split. That's all. Right. And I know that you were like probably thrilled to get some help with these animals because you've taken on more than you should have. And there's no question that's fact. You shouldn't have two cats and a dog if you travel a lot.
Right.
It's too much.
Right, right, right.
Especially a dog that needs a lot of attention, like a collie.
But the fact is, you do have those animals.
Right.
And this new animal that you brought into your house needs to go. Mm-hmm. He's not good for your other animals. Throw him out.
I'll tell you something. Although I am allergic to cats. Mm-hmm. When I moved in with my lady, she had a cat. I figured it wasn't going to work out. I also had a dog, and I figured when those two get together, that's probably not going to work out either. But I ended up taking Claritin for like 6 months, and I was taking baby doses, but it was keeping me good for a while. And then I started phasing it out, and I wasn't allergic to the cat anymore.
Right.
You just got used to it?
I got used to it.
You probably get still itchy if it's all up
I can't.
In your face.
Like, the cat cannot be in our bed.
Right.
Like, I would be itchy.
Right.
I would be bummed.
But it's not bothering you the way
I'm with the cat all the time, all day. The cat comes and sits on my... I won't pick our cat up. He can get that, like, you know, stuff where he only lets mom touch him like that. But he comes and sits on me all the time. And I pet him and we hang and we talk. You know, that on that level, we're good. So, you know, that's the least you should expect from your partner that you live with.
Right.
That was a great cat face, by the way.
Other people have lived with him, and he can be like, you're not my mom.
Right.
Right. Cats have those attitudes.
They do have attitudes. It's weird.
They do. It's almost like, you know, they look at you like, ugh, like when you come into the room, like the party's over.
Right.
Like, oh, here we go.
But
look away.
To your story earlier, if you ignore the cat starts coming around like, hey, what's up?
Right.
Yep.
Hey, what's up with you?
If I would have had a cat when I was 15, I would have got laid before my prom. Maybe that's the problem. I should have learned how
you
to deal with
to
a
know,
cat.
Right.
That's animal abuse.
Right.
Yeah, so you probably won't break up with your boyfriend, but
you should. You're not a good fit.
Hooman, your thoughts on this? Is it
Garage
Cat have anything to add?
Hooman hates animals.
I don't hate animals.
Is he on the floor right now?
He doesn't hate them, but he also doesn't like them.
I'm the same as Rudy and Sarah. I don't know why you're jumping down my throat.
It's that. We're not jumping down your throat. It's that mic.
Is he on the mic or is he on the floor?
He is. It's just funky.
I'm on the mic.
I see.
I'm rocking the mic.
Nice.
He's a mic rocker.
Now drop it. Drop the mic.
When I say that I don't love animals, I'm not saying that like if I see a bunch of, you know, whales getting slaughtered, I'm not like applauding on the sideline like, yeah, spear those whales.
Right.
But what I am saying though is that like if I see a horse or a cow on a ranch, I will admire it from a distance. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like animals.
You're glad that animals exist
I'm
in the
glad
world.
That animals
you just don't
exist.
Want to have to care for
They're
them.
They're beautiful.
Or, right.
I'm just going to stay out of their way because I'm pretty sure that like no animal really wants me around anyways. you know, like I feel like there's this human arrogance. Like we feel like the fact that we ride horses has always been a weird thing.
Don't,
like,
don't say. I actually love horses.
No. I'm defending the horse.
Where have you heard this before?
No. I'm defending the horse.
Rudy.
Like, what's up?
She was an equestrian major.
Okay.
Don't say anything.
She went to horse college.
That's the only thing she's ever
studied.
That's
the first person I've ever heard from who says the horses don't want to be ridden.
Well, I mean, it's just an example. Of course, at this point, I'm sure that they've become domesticated to some degree, like dogs. But if you really think about it, like, who decided that this animal wanted us to just jump on
Bro,
its back?
They've been riding them for 4,000 years.
I know. But do you think they're cool with it? You think, like, when a baby, a horse is born, and then he gets that first person on his back, don't you think he wonders, like, what the hell is going on right now? Like, why is this person
Some
got both legs
aren't
on
down
my
with
neck?
It, but for sure, there's, you know, I always picture like the Native Americans riding. They didn't even have didn't have saddles. They had nothing. The horses hung with them. It wasn't like they were setting up corrals everywhere they went. Like there was a symbiotic relationship.
Right.
I do think that horses are big old dumb beasts, and they know that you feed them and is what they're well cared for and not abused. I'm sure they're happy to be ridden.
What about like animals in the circus? Is that not the worst thing ever?
I actually have a lot of thoughts about animals and circuses, but I don't want to talk about it because I think that people will, on both sides, will write in and yell
exactly.
and scream.
We stay away from that one.
That's a hot button topic. Now we can talk about abortion. We cannot talk about animals in the circus.
We can't talk about the bear with the beanie in the middle of the ring. Okay.
Do the next batted.
That's for the secret show, the super secret show.
Yeah, the secret show that you shouldn't listen to. You will not like it. Hey, everybody. I love you guys, and I'm in need of some bad advice. Don't say my name. I'm in my mid-30s and married to the most amazing John you can think of.
Yay.
Oh.
There we go.
But his name is Big D.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
What?
Okay.
I'm not sure what she's saying there. No kids. We have two dogs. We're a fairly successful couple, each of us pulling in six figures a year, but low six figures. We're proud to say we've never had to depend on anyone. We both bust our asses at work, and we're at in our lives financially. My family, on the other hand, does not. They are comfortable where they're at and do not strive for more, which is completely fine until they start asking for money. I lend money to my sibling, and a week later I find out my sibling's in Seattle. WTF? He did, however, pay me back. Well, kind of. He handed the money to my mom, and of course the stories of how she has no money to pay bills comes out, so how do I ask her for my $300 that my sibling sent me? My mom is in her mid-50s, just recently retired due to medical reasons, which I think she could have worked on by working out and being more active, but no, she took the easy route and said she would not work anymore and live off retirement, which I know is not enough to live in the Bay Area. She had other options other than retiring, but since she was 35 or maybe 40, she has not wanted to work. Well, no one wants to work.
No one wants to work.
She has recently said I should give her mom allowance, stating that $100 or $200 a month would be good. She didn't mind moving into my house that we just got. Oh, she wouldn't mind moving into the house that we just got. She always says, there's an extra room. But keep in mind, when I call her, she's at the mall or making another Target run. I guess my question to you, knowing my 50-something-year-old retired mom continues to shop and or give it away to her other kids and grandkids, do I give her mom allowance? Do I let her move in? How do I say no to all her requests without sounding like a complete biatch? Mm. Would you expect your 30-year-old kid to take care of you at 50 or 60? These stories could go on and on, but I'll stop there. Thanks for being on the air. I truly appreciate the secret shows. I get so excited when there's a new one posted, even if it's a classic. Hope you get laid. Kisses to you all, but especially the ladies. Signed, I kissed two girls in Paris, and I liked it.
I'll start.
Oh, okay, go ahead. Oh, Hooman is up and
up.
Ready.
On the mic.
Watch out for your back,
it's hard with all these, so many voices. I think you should try to avoid letting your mom move into your house. Mm-hmm. I think that'll drive
Amen.
You crazy.
Yeah, you need your own family time.
But yeah, I say just keep giving her $200 a month.
Her a mom allowance.
Yeah, just keep that going and just bite it, the bullet. And if it goes up to 250, it goes up to 250. I mean,
no, you got to put a limit on that you're going to do it.
You know, maybe Christmas and Easter you could be a little
bit
more generous.
Oh boy, I'm actually surprised. I was like, cut that bitch off.
No, do not. Don't listen to anyone else on this one except me. You're welcome.
All right, so don't let her move in, but yes. Give her $200 a month.
Yeah, yeah. And just don't complain and just be happy that she's alive and you got her with you and all that good stuff.
Are you, you're leaning in.
Well, for no reason. That's just the way I'm sitting right now. But I used to give my mom an allowance, but she needed it, and she wasn't asking for it, and it helped her, and I could afford it, and that was fine. Other family members, that's another story.
Would you have been resentful if you knew that she was taking that money and giving it to other members of the family, or were you just like, F it, I'm giving her this?
She would, at times, give some of that money to other people, and once it left my hands, it wasn't her money. Yeah, there's other things I would give her that I found out, you know, like pieces of jewelry that I had received from a dude or whatever, and was like, you know, here, whatever you want to do with this, and lo and behold, she gave it to someone else. It's like, whatever, left my hands. I can't say
it away.
And, you know, I wanted it out of my life anyway. But don't let this person move in, your mom. Mm-mm.
Because if you do, that's the end. Yeah. Your mom will always live with you.
Yeah. But who's the sibling?
Yeah, the siblings are...
Just, I wouldn't give the money anymore. Mm-mm.
My mom is a hoarder. She hoards keychains. She like has shoe boxes full of keychains. I don't know why. That's like her thing.
Oh, well, if you ever need a keychain, I guess.
I mean, but everywhere she travels, she'll buy like one of those hokey keychains from
are her souvenirs.
These are her souvenirs. But it's weird though because she's never been to France, and for some reason she has like an Eiffel Tower keychain. I'm like, where did you get this, Mom? She must have got it like at the little 25 cent machine. Hmm. But that's her thing. My if my mom was to move in with me, I know that would be like the end of our relationship, you know, because it's eventually you guys start cramping each other's style.
Right.
But I know, like, in my culture at least, like, I feel that I owe it to my parents at some point.
At
some point.
At 50?
At 50. No, 50's too young. Like, right. 50's too young. You can still go out there and do. I'm happy giving my mom money if I need to, especially like Uzi said, if I can afford it. Then so be it. Whatever she does with the money after that, you know, like when you give a homeless dude $5, it's like, hey man, I want you to buy Starbucks, but if you want to go out there and get high
this
on something,
money has
that's
left
on...
my hand.
Exactly.
And you do with it what you.
My intentions were good when I handed it over.
Right.
So
you're for the.
So
mom
hold
allowance.
On a minute though. So your mom, you hand her money.
Right. If I were to hand her money,
and you hand her money, she goes, hang out, have a seat, welcome, enjoy, and then goes down to the Sevy. And comes back with an 18-pack.
Funny, that's what my mom did.
Right.
Although it would be a 30-pack.
So are you
that's
okay with
weekend.
That?
And a bag
are
of
you
weed,
like,
yeah.
You know what? I gave her that money. Here's, or are you like, I'm paying to kill my mom. Well, she's an alcoholic.
Well, here's the thing. Truth be told, I'm really just switching spots with her because when she was giving me money when I was 17 years old, I was out there buying weed and liquor. And I was basically mm-hmm. killing myself too.
So you're good with it.
So I'm okay with it. So I feel like we're just, if she wants to go out there and buy, you know, she likes Cutty Sark whiskey. If she wants to go out there and buy a fifth of Cutty Sark whiskey with the money that I give her, so be it. Because I know when I was 16, 17 and she was giving me money, I was pretty much doing the same exact thing. So if you look at it that way, it's all about perspective. If you look at it that way, I'm just returning the favor.
Yeah.
I'm just returning the favor.
She all right, Benny, what do you think?
I would not let her move in with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not happening.
So that's thing one.
Oh, yeah, and I'd give her some money. I don't care about the giving her money.
Yeah.
I don't. That's the easiest thing in the world you could possibly do to help her is give her some cash and be done with it.
And right. Don't forget, this chick makes $100,000 a year, and well, so does her husband. Not, I mean, it's not like she's pining for.
She's not rich though, and this is the Bay Area.
Right. Yeah, that's nothing here.
She doesn't have a lot of money.
Right.
Yeah, that's
but
nothing.
Still, throw her $200, be done with it. But I would be very clear with her if she's tapped out at 50 and is acting like, yeah, I can't work, I can't possibly. That's fine. That's her decision. But I would be very clear. You need to know you can't move in with us. That's not happening. Like, we have our own thing. We're trying to have our own life. I'm happy to help you with a little cash. But if you're going to take that to Target and buy beer or whatever, when you could be saving that, you know, for the rainy days that are clearly going to come.
Or paying your cable bill with it or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Then that's on you.
Yeah, don't reach back out for money to cover electricity.
Don't come back with 200 scratchers.
Yeah, the reason I say that, too, is because what I'm catching from this lady is not like, my mom sacrificed so much for me when I was young. The things she did. Her generosity was endless.
Mm-hmm.
And now she needs me, and in her time of need, should I? I would say, yeah, absolutely. But that's not how this person is worded.
They're not phrasing it that way at all.
This person has worded this as they look down their nose at their mom a little bit, like she's pretty lazy and she's looking for handouts.
Yeah. That's the real first question. Like, what type of mom was she? Right. Maybe that'll justify.
Because kids are expensive. There's no question she spent money, way more than $200 a month on you, you know, your whole life growing up. You know, and I'm not a tit for tat kind of person. Like, I think that if, you know, someone needs it, absolutely you should help them. But I'm not looking for my kids to pay me back, and I'm not looking to pay my you know, I pay my parents back by not asking them for anything now.
Right. Like,
you know. No, I agree. But I think it's really about who this person is, and we don't know.
Right.
What I'm gathering from the way she's described her, like, it's that person that's always on the take, that person who's like, what's free in here?
Yeah.
I'll take it all.
Costco samples. That Costco samples person.
That attitude
Let's go there for lunch.
Is no good. I don't want to be around that person that's on the take all the time.
You.
And if that's your mom, then you would feel weird giving her anything because you know that's who she is.
Right. She sounds like she feels like she's a freeloader, which is, I think, the number one reason to not let your mom move in with you, especially at age 50 and you feel like she could get her ass together and continue to work or whatever. That sounds like she just wants to freeload. I would not say never let your parents. I mean, I fully expect one or both of my parents to live with me at some point. I mean, that's a possibility. I certainly wouldn't turn them away. But at age 50, I'd be like, it seems like he got 40 years left or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, no.
It's like, has your midlife crisis even kicked in yet?
You know? I'm 50. I'm not asking to live with my 18-year-old son. Like,
it's like, mom, if you're not getting hot flashes yet, then you can't live with me.
Yeah,
right?
Right. If you're not past getting hot flashes yet.
I was thinking that.
When you have one leg left, then we'll talk, all right?
Like that broken down pinata.
Yeah.
What about that original $300? She's not getting that back, right?
Oh, no, no. Yeah.
Well, that money's gone.
Right. Yeah. I mean, once it got to her mom.
The Target run. Right. Gone.
Yeah. Oh, I don't have that anymore. Yeah, your brother gave it to me.
Natty Ice is more expensive than you think nowadays.
Mm. And she might not drink. I don't know what her health problem is. She may just be overweight or who knows what her deal is. But if she's decided she can't work, it's too much for her.
She can figure out a way to make it happen, listen, who doesn't want, I mean, no one wants to work. That's not, I mean.
But that goes back to the being on the take, that whole, you know, if I limp, people will help me.
Right.
Oh, so now I just have to limp. Let me perfect this limp. All right, look at that. Everyone keeps coming around.
Now I don't even have to think about it.
I got a hand up. A door opens. Here's your cash.
You're like, oh, shoot, it's the wrong leg.
Yeah, you're like limping on the wrong leg. Yeah. It's like, mom, I thought it was the left foot. Oh, yeah, it is the left foot. Sorry about
that. Both of them. They're just, I'm so sore.
Yeah.
You're just like army crawling everywhere because you just can't walk.
All right, we help no one. Rudy Ortiz, thank you for being here.
Thank you guys for having me here.
It's always great to
thank
have
you. So
you.
Much. Likewise.
I wish you luck on your inspirational, motivational TED Talk
I'm
career.
Writing a book.
I'm into it.
I'm good. You guys are going to get the first copy of it as soon as I write it.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. See you later.